each other. We are immersed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit we got all the Holy Spirit we're ever going to get right now. But sometimes He don't have all of us. He is indwelling us at the moment of salvation. You can look that up. I have 100 verses if you want to look these notes later on. But I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit indwells the believer at the moment of salvation. Dum-da-da-dum. He's there. I have a companion now. You wonder why before you got saved, why you couldn't deal with things, why you were having trouble. By the way, there's a lot of people in here that before you got saved, you tried to read the Bible and you're like, I don't get it. I'm trying to do good. I can't. Why? Because you don't have the companion of the Holy Spirit in your life. By the way, you have the third person of the Trinity with you all the time. That's why you ought to be careful where you go. Amen. You ought to be careful what you say and what you see and what you hear. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God is there with you. Now, later on in this, we're going to talk about the difference between the filling and the indwelling. They are separate issues. And so we'll talk about those later. Let me ask the question, who is the Comforter? He names Him here several times. He says, the Comforter. He says, if I go away, I will send the Comforter unto you. Who is the Comforter? The Comforter, if you look up the word, it means one summons, called to one side, called to aid one. One who pleads another's cause before a judge, a pleader, a counselor, a defender, a legal assistant, an advocate. That's what the Holy Spirit does for me and you. He does a lot, doesn't He? And by the way, we're going to talk about this later, but you know, the Holy Spirit don't want any praise, any glory. He wants it all to go to Christ. And He's our companion. He's with us. He helps us. The believer, as you trust Jesus Christ, you have an aid worker with you. You have a helper with you. You have a consoler. You have somebody who comforts you in those times. I tell people all the time, you think, how am I going to go through this situation? How am I going to, if this happens, how will I deal with that situation? Well, God has two things waiting on you. He has grace and the Holy Spirit. And somehow you make it through it. Through those two helps that God gives you in your life, and He consoles you. I'm glad I have the Holy Spirit in me. I'm glad He's my companion. I'm glad whenever I start to do wrong, He goes, That's what the Holy Spirit does in my life. I'm glad He's my companion. I like having my kids with me whenever they were young as my companions. Did anybody else like that? Because you never knew what they were going to do, right? But you know what? The thing about kids is that it's just nice having them there with you, isn't it? It's nice having somebody with you. But you know what? Our kids always said, Dad, I'm glad I'm with you today. They like being with Dad. They felt secure. They felt like, hey, if something was to happen, Daddy could take care of the situation. Well, that's the Holy Spirit is with us all the time. He's always with us. He is our companion. Number two, the concealment of the believer. We have the concealment of the believer. John chapter 14, verse 16, he says this. He says, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. Now, notice what he says, that He may abide with you how long? Forever. How's He going to conceal us? Well, Ephesians tells us, chapter 4, verse 30, says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, and we'll talk about that later too, whereby ye are sealed until when? The day of redemption. The day the rapture happens, boom. You're done with the Holy Spirit after that. You're going to be in presence of the Trinity. Now, he says in Ephesians 1:13, he says, in whom also you trusted, you heard the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, he says, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We notice that also in John chapter 10, verse 28 through 30, it says, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. In other words, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You're sealed with God's hand, and you're sealed with the Son's hand. I'd say that's pretty secure. Amen. You're concealed from what? You're concealed from the wrath of God. Sometimes it's not what, when you think about being sealed, it's not so much what you're sealed from, but what you're sealed to. You're sealed till the day of redemption. God's keeping you. In other words, He has made you a promise through the Holy Spirit of God that He's going to keep you and that you're not going to lose your salvation. Why? Because you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I like things that are sealed. There's a certain lady that makes jelly in this church. She says, my brother Herb, that's what pastor would call, brother Miss Smith, and boy, she makes that jelly. You know what I like doing? Taking that lid. It's preserved, right? It may be a year old, a month old, But it's still good. Why? Because it's sealed until the day of redemption. What is the day of redemption? Until I have that biscuit laid out. Amen? And you put it on there. That's the day of redemption for that jelly. That's or for that that apple butter. That's the day of redemption for that. And God says that one day Jesus said that He's coming again for us. And that He said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And how's He going to depict who He takes back with Him? It's those who have the Holy Spirit of God in their life. Who are sealed until the day of redemption. Those who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And they're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. It's like a Ziploc bag. You're safe. Nothing gets in, nothing gets out. You can't lose your salvation. That's good news. I'm glad I'm concealed. I'm glad that I'm hid in Christ. I'm glad that I'm hid in my Father's hand. I'm glad that I'm hid by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm sealed until the day of redemption when He comes and takes me home. I am concealed from Satan. He can't steal my soul away. Amen. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. That's us, the church, right? It's who we are, who Jesus paid for and bought. The Holy Spirit has sealed you until the day of redemption. Can I tell you that the Trinity has sealed you until the day of redemption? You're concealed until the day of redemption. Where are we today? We're in Christ and Christ in us. I'm concealed in the righteousness of Christ. When God looks at me, He sees Christ and His righteousness. And the devil can't get through Christ's righteousness. He can't go through the blood to get me. Why? Because I'm concealed. Then we see the third thing, and this is what I really want to spend some time on tonight. We see the commitment of God to the believer. The commitment of God to the believer. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "Who hath also sealed us," now notice this, "and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." The Lord has made a commitment to us. He gave us the earnest. When you give that earnest money, we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But Jesus, through giving us the Holy Spirit, proved to us that He was coming back. That He made you a commitment when He gave the earnestness, when He gave that, so to speak, that engagement ring to you. One day we're going to have a marriage, right? We're going to be at the marriage supper, not the marriage dinner, too. Oh, unscriptural people. It's not a dinner. You're gonna be at the wrong one. That's at 12 o'clock. That's the pre. That's the bachelor and bachelorette party. We're going. But supper, marriage supper. That's what Jesus called it. I can't help it. And that's the evening meal. That's what we eat at nighttime. Our supper. But Jesus is coming again for us. And guess what we see? We see that He's made a commitment to us. He made a commitment to us. How? When He gave us the Holy Spirit, He gave us His commitment and said, "Hey, I'm coming back." Just like if you go and you put that down payment on a vehicle and you're saying, "I'm coming back to get that." Or if you put a down payment on that, and I know Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. I understand that. But I'm saying that He gave us the very best until He comes again. He gave us a commitment that He is coming again. Amen. We see that in John chapter 14. He said that I will come again and receive you unto myself. Jesus left us the earnest. Earnest means money which in purchase is given as a pledge or a down payment. That full amount will subsequently be paid or pledged. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5 says, "Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." Ephesians 1, 14 says, "Which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory." In other words, He's coming back. When I proposed to my wife, and it was very, we were just talking about this for service, it was very romantic. I spent a lot of time thinking about it and a lot of money. I didn't. We were in the mall, and I said, "Hey, you want to go buy a ring?" Yeah. It's like, done. Simple. It didn't cost me anything. I didn't have to prepare anything. We're still married 19 years later. Done. She's crazy enough to stay with me, so it works that way. But when I gave her that ring, I gave her my class ring before that. It was real romantic, too. I said, "This ring doesn't fit my finger anymore. You want to wear it?" She's like, "Sure." I'm like, "Man, I got the right wife right there. She don't cost much at all. I like this." And just a little. See, you, guys, what happens a lot of times, you start off with that big stuff, and you got to keep upgrading that every year. Well, I know guys that have went out on the football field and used candles and stuff and said, will you marry me, and fly them over, you know, and they're looking out of there. Well, what are you going to do for your 20th anniversary? You can't top that, yeah. You know. But if you just took her to the mall and say, hey, you want to get a ring? It's easy to top that one. You just buy her flowers. The next year, you're up one already. But when I gave Danya that ring, that promise ring, I was making her a promise. I was making her a commitment. What? That I was going to marry her. That I was going to keep myself for her until that day of redemption. Till that day when we were married before our pastor. And I promised her, I said, Danya, with this ring, I almost wed. Until the day of redemption, right? I promise you, I'm making a commitment to you. And Jesus said that I'm making a commitment to you that I'll not leave you comfortless, that I'll not leave you without a helper, that I'll not leave you without some aid in your life. He says, I'm making a commitment because I'm going to seal you until the day of redemption, but also I'm going to give the earnest money. I'm going to give the earnest that I can give to you, and that is the Holy Spirit of God. You can't see Him, but you'll know His effects in your life. Jesus gave us the earnest. Now, I love that verse, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14. If you don't get any other verse, get that one. It says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. That means that's just the iceberg, really. It's the earnest of it. When we get to heaven and we see Christ, what a day. He says, until the redemption of the purchased possession. In other words, He's already paid for us. He's just waiting to come pick us up. I heard a guy one day give an illustration. That's a silly illustration, but it works. He says, went to online, ordered a thing from Best Buy, and he was going to do an in-store pickup. He'd already paid for it. All he had to do was pick it up. That's what Jesus did with us. He's already paid for us. We're just waiting on Him to come pick us up. Amen. We're waiting on that old ship of Zion to come around and pick us up. And the Holy Spirit is the believer's engagement. It is their Jesus' commitment to the believer. I don't know where I got this quote from, but it says, money that is given, talking about the earnest, it says, money that is given in a purchase, a down payment, which guarantees that the balance will be paid. He's coming again. Another one says, set His seal of ownership on us and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Woo, glory. I can't wait on that day. Jesus is committed to us. Jesus has committed Himself to us. How did He do that? Through the Holy Spirit. He said that you will have Him forever. Notice verse 16 again in John chapter 14. He says, and I'll pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you, what? Forever. That He will be with you forever. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. Why did Jesus say that to you, by the way? Jesus is not physically with us. He's with you through the Holy Spirit. He's with you through working of the Holy Spirit in your life. He's not left you nor forsaken you, and He never will. By the way, isn't it amazing that as a Christian living during the church age, is that we as a Christian, as a believer, will never be without representation from heaven? When we're done with the Holy Spirit, we'll be face to face with Christ for eternity. Just a great trade-off, isn't it? That one day we're going to be traded in, or we're going to trade in this old body too. Amen. I can't wait on that. But one day we see that Jesus is going to come again. By the way, as we look at this earth, we see His hand everywhere, don't we? I believe it's very soon. I believe Jesus is just about to sound the trumpet. I believe that Jesus is so close. Where do we find comfort? We find comfort by the commitment that He's made us, the promise that He made us. You study the life of the Israelites, of the Jewish people. They lived by a promise. That's what they did. You study the life of Joseph. Joseph, he lived by a promise. That God said that one day you're going to enter into the promised land. He said, carry my bones there. He says, I know the Lord to keep the promise. And as the Israelites looked to the future, they knew that there was a promised Messiah coming. And that's what they put their faith in, that there was a promise and there was a commitment that God had made to them, that one day that they would inhabit the land, one day that the Messiah come. Hey, listen, as a believer, we have a promise. We have a commitment that God has given us through the Holy Spirit. He said, hey, I'll come again. And I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. How's He going to do that? He's going to do that through the Holy Spirit of God. Somebody said this. This is another silly illustration. But the Holy Spirit's like a piece of metal. And one day God's going to wave a big magnet over this world. And everybody has that medal of the Holy Spirit in their life. We're out of here. Those that God has saved and sealed, one day He's going to redeem. Amen. Waiting on that day. Now let me ask you this. Christ is committed to us, but we should be committed to Him. And commit our lives wholly unto Him, as 1 Timothy says. It says, wholly commit thyself to Him. That we should give Him everything. Why? Because He's given us everything. He's made us a promise. He's made us a commitment. He has given us a companion to help us along the way. We have no excuse not to live a godly life. We have no excuse to say, well, I don't think I can do that. Well, you can't, but through the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, you can. By the way, you pray without the Holy Spirit and see how that goes. It goes on deaf ears. We must learn to not be scared of the word Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. He's got many names. Spirit of grace, Spirit of God, Spirit of truth, all these names. And He's a He, by the way. Amen. Not an it, Amen. As a lot of people say. He's not there so you can put on a show in church either. Amen. Amen. Right. A lot of people, trust me, I was raised in the Assembly of God Church. I know what it's about. It's who can shout the loudest and run the fastest and sing the loudest. They got the Holy Ghost. How do you know they got the Holy Ghost? Because look at what they're doing. It's not about the show. It's about God working through us to accomplish His will in our life. Let's stand tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'll pray and then Pastor will come. Father, we love You. And Father, we thank You for the companion You have given us, that You'd never leave us alone. That God, even in the midnight hours of our life, there's a companion there with us. Lord, thank You for that. Thank You for the comfort that He gives. Thank You for the direction He gives in our lives. Lord, thank You how He helps us to understand Your word and Your will. Father, thank You for that. And Lord, we certainly thank You that You gave us a commitment, that You said You'd come again and receive us unto Yourself. And Father, thank You for sealing us and concealing us. Thank You for that commitment that You made to us. And Lord, thank You that You're coming again. And Lord, I'd hate to know there would be somebody here tonight that does not know Jesus Christ their Savior, and they're not sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Father, I pray tonight be the night of salvation. But Lord, I also know that there's a lot of Christians here, including myself, God. And Lord, I also want to commit myself to You as You've committed Yourself to me. You've given everything for me. But Lord, what have I given You? Lord, even this day, I pray that, God, You just forgive us all where we fail You. God, help us to be more committed to You. And Lord, look forward to Your coming. We thank You and love You in Jesus' precious name. Amen.